Welcome to the Bambushi Happy Hour. I am Peju Bambushi Roethlisberger.
Hi, everyone, and I'm Naomi Bambushi.
And today we have a special guest, Brianna Thornton from STT. Did I pronounce it correctly?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, awesome. Brianna, thank you so much for being here. We're so happy to have you. We always like to start off the show with some icebreakers to get you relaxed and chill. All right, so if you had your own talk show, who would be your first guest?
Oh my gosh. That's a hard one. Who would be my favorite? Does it have to be someone famous?
Doesn't have to be, no. Mm-mm.
Okay. I'd probably bring my mom on, but being honest.
Okay. Yeah.
Good choice. Good choice, Brianna. Excellent choice.
Okay. What's the best gift anyone has ever given you?
Probably just education.
Oh.
That's how I've gotten where I'm at.
That's right. That's right. Okay.
Teaching me just kind of how to get where I am. I wouldn't be here. So that's probably the best gift.
Okay. I love that. And if you had to wear a t-shirt for the rest of your life that said one word, or had one word on it, what would the word be?
New Jersey. That's where I grew up.
Oh, really? We're from Jersey.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Okay.
What's something that you could do better than anyone else that you know?
Oh, I don't know that I could do anything better than anyone else. Probably adapt. I'm very adaptable.
Okay.
If I have one skill, that's probably it.
That's very important. And finally, who is your celebrity crush?
Kate McKinnon on SNL. I think she's hysterical.
Oh, yeah.
Who? I'm sorry.
Kate McKinnon.
Okay.
SNL.
Yeah, Saturday Night. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay. Good. So we always start off the show with a toast. I don't know if you have a toast with you, but we're going to do
I have some a toast over.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Ma always leads us in with a toast because we want to celebrate you and all your accomplishments. Ma, you want to lead us with a toast?
Okay. Long life and prosperity, health, wealth, and happiness. Salud.
Cheers. Salud.
Okay. So tea. So we order the tea. We don't have it here yet, but we're going to do some updates and put it on the website. We ordered a Wake Up Maggie and Serendipity. So we can't wait to taste it. So can you tell us how did you come up with some of the names and how did you come up with the name of the company?
So I'll start with the name of the company. So I went to art school in New York City and I was in a class where the professor was discussing kind of what we were as artists, and he used the word aesthete, which is someone who has an appreciation for art, nature, and beauty. And that word just kind of stuck with me over the years as something that I viewed myself as well as just the communities I surrounded myself in. So when I started the company, tea encapsulates, you know, the art of the tea ceremonies are beautiful. It obviously comes from nature. So it just felt like a word that encapsulated everything that I was trying to convey within my company. So that's where that name came from originally. And then our tea names kind of started not so much as a joke, but I was finding it difficult to name things. And I came from a branding background. And when I first started my company, I was listening to a lot of classic rock at the time, which I kind of grew up with my mom. So we have one called Bad Moon Rising, you know, Sexual Healing. I was listening to a lot of old school R&B. So it was just kind of song titles or lyrics from songs that felt fitting whatever tea was created. So Sexual Healing is a libido tea, so it's very fitting.
Okay, yeah. I was gonna ask about that. I was gonna ask, so they are actually therapeutic.
Absolutely, yeah. So my mom's an herbalist and she creates all of our blends. So each tea is created obviously for the flavor, but there's also a lot of medicinal benefits that go behind, you know, just the plant. as well.
Okay.
And you said that your mom is an herbalist, and I know that you have the art background, and you did a really beautiful job with the branding too. Just want to let you know that the site is awesome. I love it.
Thank you.
Of course. So how did you get into the tea space? Is it because your mom is an herbalist, or like how did you two decide to go into tea?
Yeah, definitely. So my background, I worked in art galleries, so primarily contemporary art in New York, and then kind of shifted to branding, and then worked in branding agencies on the West Coast, and just got burnt out by 26. Anyone who works in those agencies, you know, I take my hat off to them. It's a lot of work, and it's pretty exhausting. Yeah. At the time, I was stressed out, and I wasn't sleeping, so my mom was making me all these teas for me
to
with work, and I was sharing within my kind of agency and with people that I was working with, and they were like, you should do something with this, like you should sell this. And I was like, yeah, I really should. And then kind of came up with the idea to my mom, and she's like, yeah, we'll see if it works. And neither of us had a plan for where it's grown to. We really thought it would be something a lot smaller, but that was essentially how it started. And then I obviously used my background in branding to work on the branding side of things and marketing, and then my mom created the blends. So
partnership. Good.
Okay. Yeah, love that. You mentioned that sexual healing will help with libido. Yeah. What does the love potion do exactly?
So love potion, that's to be created. I think that was year one, so about 5 years ago. As we do teas, we try and do them seasonally or launch them seasonally. So for example, our witch's brew was launched around Halloween. That was another tea that was launched during a Halloween, and it's from kind of this old like folklore spell of the herbs to drink. And, you know, then there's an incantation of a love spell, but it was just kind of taken as reference from that to create that tea as originally one of our Halloween teas. And it did so well that it stayed on.
Okay. I love that. So I know that Portland is known for its food. It's a foodie town, right? Am I correct in that?
Absolutely, yeah.
I kind of want to get your feel on what you would do on maybe a Friday or Saturday night. Would you go to the Voodoo Donuts place, which I know is like really, really popular, or would you be more of an Ox person who, award-winning, was it a James Beard award-winning chef? Where would you normally go to on a Friday or Saturday night for dinner or to chill?
I'd be more of an Ox person. I definitely like to sit down and have a nice dinner and some nice wine. Voodoo is amazing place, but it's especially on Friday nights gets pretty hectic when the bars let out. So I try to avoid that. But yeah, I'd definitely be more towards the nicer dinner and quieter evening.
Okay. And how about a stroll in Washington Park, or I think it's called Lan Su Chinese Garden? Which one would you prefer? Now, you tell us a little bit about it because we were not from there.
Yeah, right. I would choose Lan Su. It's a beautiful garden. The Japanese garden in Portland is also absolutely beautiful. Both locations have tea houses, so I, of course, am a little bit biased towards those locations. Washington Park is absolutely beautiful as well. A lot of people lay out in the summer and go for walks, but I definitely would be more of a garden person. I actually, I'm a member of the Japanese garden here, so I get to go whenever I want.
Oh, wow. Okay. I heard it's beautiful. I've heard about the Japanese garden as well. Like you said, I heard it's really beautiful.
Okay.
And do you prefer the Portland Trailblazers or the Portland Timbers, or are you into sports?
I am, in a sense that I find it fun. I do not follow them. I will go to the games very happily and have a beer and hang out with friends. I would say I'm probably more into the Trailblazers just because a lot of my friends are. So I do watch those games.
Okay. And finally, which slogan do you think or do you prefer when it comes to Portland? Keep Portland Weird or Beervana?
I haven't heard that one actually.
Oh.
I would have to say Beervana.
Beervana? Okay.
First time I've heard that one. I like it.
Okay. Have you heard Keep Portland Weird? Have you heard that?
Yeah, that one's painted on half of the buildings out here. So.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's so funny. But everyone, you know, everyone that I know that's visited Portland and lived in Portland really, really enjoys it, really likes it, just like the culture and everything.
Yeah.
And that, you know, brings me to, we know Portland is very liberal, which we love. How is life in Portland?
It's, I mean, of course, over the last few years, it's changed a lot. When I first moved here, it's funny, my mom brought it up the other day. She was speaking to one of my cousins who's also half Black, and he was like, Bree knows that there's just mainly white people in Portland, right? Because I was moving from Brooklyn. And she was like, yeah, she'll be fine. And my mom was like, I was a little bit worried, to be honest. But when I moved here, it's such a beautiful space. Everyone was so, so open and loving. And then for the last 2 years, we have had a huge influx of people moving in from the Bay Area and New York, whether, you know, people that have been in Portland forever, like it or not, it's creating a lot more diversity and a lot more of a community. My company belongs to like the Black American Chamber of Commerce. We're a part of ONAC, which is the Oregon Native American Chamber of Commerce. So there's a lot of
community,
especially within business, that have kind of bonded together and helped each other out the last 2 years. So I would say, I love Portland. It is compared to Brooklyn, where I came from, or Jersey, where I grew up, definitely a lot more, or not as diverse, but it's getting there for sure. And there's a lot of push to move it in that direction very happily. So.
I love hearing that. I also heard that Portland has a lot of small businesses and obviously then entrepreneurs. What challenges did you face, if any, as a woman and a woman of color in starting your business?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the beginning, so I started 5 years ago, it was 2017, and the small business, especially with women, I'll kind of speak specifically on that, because that was a community I was a part of, was not very diverse. So I did feel a little bit, not like an outcast, not that they made me feel like an outcast, but it was one of those situations where, you know, no one here quite looks like me or is doing exactly what I'm doing. So trying to find my place in the beginning was a little hard. But like I said, with those organizations that I found pretty early on, I quickly found my community. And there's different markets here. There's one called My People's Market, which is primarily for BIPOC-owned businesses. And the amount of friends that I have found from that market, we joke that it's like the once a year cookout that everyone's at. Like, we're all there. Like, everyone's there. So now, you know, I've had these wonderful organizations help me grow my business, so I don't face those challenges as much. But for me, it was just a matter of not knowing quite where I fit and seeing, you know, women run these amazing businesses, but they had a completely different life experience from me and they were from a completely different place. So finding kind of my people is what helped.
Okay. All right. I mean, I think that's really important that people know that there are different organizations and groups out there. Sometimes you have to do a little bit of searching, but that's really good to hear. What's the most important lesson that you've learned so far as an entrepreneur?
So many. Patience, probably number one.
Yeah. What was that word? Patience?
Patience.
Was that patience?
Yeah. Thank you, Rob. That was a shot at me. So
totally impatient. The biggest thing, have patience.
Yeah.
Been impatient. My mom always jokes that I was a kid that could never sit. So I'm always up and moving and doing things. And coming from really fast-paced careers that I had, I was used to, you know, at the drop of a hat, you have a team of seven people to do something, and suddenly it's just me, but I'm still running on that mindset of this should happen in 10 minutes. Just learning that if I think it'll take 10 minutes, it'll take an hour. Like, that's now my mindset. Like, that's what I've taught myself, is it's okay, it'll happen. Also, you know, reminding myself that although I love my business and I love what I do, I'm not curing cancer. So if something doesn't happen tomorrow, the world is not going to end. It's just, you know, I love what I do, but it's not, you know, my world's not going to end. No one else is going to be that upset. You know, it's so just learning to work within a framework that works for me and have patience with myself and just be kinder to myself. Mm-hmm. And understanding that I can't do everything and not everything's going to look like the way I envisioned it. And that's okay.
I love that whole I love that mindset, like when you think about it, because a lot of times everything is just always so urgent for so many people, but really, is it that important at the end of the day? Like, you know, that's really good. Smart.
That's how you stay in it, right?
So the saying I always kind of follow my every day of working with, because I get overwhelmed and I get very stressed out easily, and I, funny enough, own a business but don't handle stress well. So I always remind myself, if it's not going to matter in 5 years, don't worry about it for more than 5 minutes, because it's just like, if it's not, you know, if it's not going to be there in 5 years, you don't need to stress too much about it at this moment.
Okay. Very wise, okay. Very wise advice. Okay. And words.
Downs have gotten me to this point.
Yeah, that's right. Otherwise, you burn out.
Too much. So we'll switch up things a little bit lighter. So what are you watching on TV right now?
If you watch it, anything. Yeah.
I just finished, what was it called? Under the Guise of Heaven, it was called. It was essentially about, it was a series, but about a family in the 1970s that was part of the Mormon church and kind of.
Is that the one with Andrew Garfield?
I believe so. And it was it was amazing. It was a beautiful shot and just really amazing.
About this one family in particular.
Sides pretty fairly. I don't think there was any, you know, they didn't point fingers at anyone. It was just kind of this really, I love, you know, studying just religion and culture. And it was just a really, I don't know much about that, you know, the Mormon church or what went on.
Kind of a
learning lesson with a grain of salt, because it was still a series. So I'm sure there's plenty of fiction in it. Yeah. But it was just really interesting. And
I saw it. I think we both did.
Go ahead, Mom. Sorry.
Yeah, we both saw, right? I don't remember.
I think so. I feel like there was a couple named that.
Yeah, there's one now called Mormon No More.
That's a different, I haven't seen it,
but I do know it's on. Well, I've seen many about the Mormon church, and my son-in-law's family that were ex-Mormons. Yeah. And so we kind of know a lot about the Mormons. Yeah.
He was previously Mormon. He's no longer Mormon. So I find out a lot from him as well. So it's just interesting.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah. So who's on your playlist?
Oh gosh, I listen to everything. I've been doing a lot of Kendrick because he's dropping his new album.
Oh yeah.
What else have I been listening to?
Who was that? Kendrick Lamar?
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did start going back to songs from like the early 2000s and 90s, like, you know, like top 40 songs, just because it's feel good music for the summer. So that's kind of what I've been primarily listening to lately.
I do that. And I have everybody listen to it and I play videos. That's so funny. That's hilarious.
Like, I'm sure.
So now we have what we call the celebrity round, and this is all about celebrities. So just kind of to get your taste. First question is, you're starting a competition for the most talented people in the world. And of course you want the most talented celebrities to judge this competition. Name the three celebrities that you would invite to be the judge on your show.
Okay. I think the first person that comes to mind, I love humor, so I feel like I'd want like Terry Crews there, just because I've been watching America's Got Talent as well, and he's the host on that, and I think
gosh,
that's Terry Crews. Terry
just Crews. No side of it. Him.
That'll be funny.
Three celebrities. Who else would I? Oh my gosh, I don't even know. Probably Oprah. I mean, she's got to be there.
Oprah, okay, good, good. You know,
Stewart, just some.
Always a good choice.
And you said Martha Stewart?
Yeah, just some powerhouse.
Yeah.
Stewart is good. Martha Stewart is good.
I like that.
Martha Stewart is good. She has a wealth of knowledge. She's good.
And she's a funny personality.
And she's hilarious. She's hilarious. Good.
She didn't accept me.
We didn't catch that. What was the last part?
I applied to intern for her in New York City when I was 18 in art school, and I didn't get the internship, but I always have a chip on my shoulder about that.
Well, her loss. Martha, yeah, her loss.
So, okay.
So you're heading up an army for the zombie apocalypse. Name three celebrities that you want on your team.
Okay. I'm trying to think of people who have done like action movies who are built for it.
Or people who have gotten into fights in the real life. You know what I mean? Some of these people, I don't know, maybe Alec Baldwin.
Oh, no!
You know how deadly he can be.
There was a point that popped in my mind when you said that. And I was like, I don't know if I should say those names right now.
No, but Ma will say them. She is that.
Probably one of the first people that comes to my mind is I don't know her name, but she played Wonder Woman.
Gal Gadot.
I apologize. Ryan Reynolds.
Okay, yeah.
Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah, okay.
Deadpool, he's pretty funny.
Okay.
And probably Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, okay.
Oh, she's always playing to some sort of superhero or whatever.
She does, yeah.
What about the Thor and Captain America and all these?
I'm so glad it's what
they look good. If nothing else, they look good.
They may not be able to,
they can't combat the
zombies. You never know. So final one for this. You are running a charity organization, and you can choose three celebrities that you want to physically go out and disenfranchise neighborhoods and clean it up. Who would you choose? Three celebrities.
Okay. I can't even think of like who. I can picture them, but I don't have their names.
Or who do you think needs to go out and do that? Good.
I feel like Jessica Alba would be one of them. I know her organization does amazing things.
Okay.
Jessica Alba,
yeah, for sure. The Honest Company.
From what I know, she does good. Who else does good? Can I bring Michelle Obama?
Oh yeah, of course. Absolutely.
And who would be my third one?
Michelle Obama. She would organize and grind a little bit herself.
Yeah, she would probably be like AOC.
I'm not sure AOC would do any work. I know she'd be there running her mouth about what needs to be done. I'm not convinced about her real effort, you know? I'm not convinced. So we'll see.
Oh my gosh, you're funny. She would definitely be there.
I'll say that.
She would be there and she would draw attention to
the issue. Yeah. For sure. So we can say that. But if I really wanted to get the job done, I don't know if she'd be one I would recruit. One of my friends once told me that about me. She says, Naomi, you know, you say you'll help, but I think we better go get somebody else.
All right. So who or what is your muse?
I think it would be more of a what. To start with my business, it was just a lot of trying to create a product that actually was good for people. Working in branding, I worked in corporate branding. So I was on a team that, I won't give names of the companies, but essentially we were selling things to millennials that didn't have money by tricking them to think they needed it for an experience or whatever it may be. And it just never felt good. So I always
gotcha.
Actually benefited people in some way and wasn't just this
product
that looked pretty. Yeah. So I think just the my muse would just be the need to do something that actually did good.
Right.
In a small impact, but in some way.
Well, so it was a good direction to be to go into, you know, anyway, just because of the history of teas, teas have long been thought to be soothing and healing. I mean, it's, you know, up until I was an adult, I didn't drink coffee until I was like 19 years old. Yeah. I always drank
tea. It was only a few years ago.
It was just tea, you know? I mean, I was raised, even though my grandfather drank coffee, when it came to my mother, we only had tea. We only drank tea, nobody, until I was 19. And then at 19, I became addicted to coffee, the caffeine, and started drinking it every day since then. But, you know, prior to that, I only drank tea. And you know, because you know, tea was known to be so healthy. Even my grandfather, I don't know if I should say this, but I'm going to say this to you. My mother used to tell me that my grandfather died when I was like 12. My grandfather used to have a tea that he made that cured a certain type of venereal disease.
I believe it.
And he, and yeah, and this was down in a little town called Bethune, South Carolina. The population now is only like 500. Okay. That's how tiny it is. Yeah. Okay. And my mother said, yeah, you know, granddaddy would make his teas and people would come when the, you know, the wife would stray or the husband would stray and they would get, I'm telling
you. Did it work?
How true it is? I don't know.
Did it work?
You know, telling you this is the lore, this is the story, you know. So
they must have thought it worked. I mean,
people really believed in teas, you know. People really believed in teas and going in that garden and, you know, and growing this and growing that and doing this and doing that.
Yeah,
people, I mean, in teas for fertility, for everything.
Yeah, and as simple as my dog had hot spots one time where he was kind of itching a lot.
Yeah, it was scratchy spots.
And you just soak thyme in boiling water, put it on a cloth, and put it on their hot spot, and it essentially
kills it. Oh, did you say thyme?
Thyme, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, good. Well, listen, my puppy is quiet in the room by herself, but I'm a dog lover. You know, I always have dogs, and I never heard
always
that.
Quiet.
And you know, I've seen hot spots throughout the years, and I've never known that. Good, thank you. I'll try that when my dog starts going bananas, you know.
And driving right crazy.
Good.
So Brianna, what's your favorite flavor or your favorite tea? I don't know if I should say flavor, but your favorite
tea blend. What I drink every day, I drink our Assam, which is just a straight black tea, but ours is like an orthodox long leaf, so it's a more traditional black tea from India. That has caffeine, so I drink that every morning. And then I drink our Witch's Brew, which is a roasted burdock root, chicory, and dandelion. Generally in the afternoon or in the evening, it's herbal, so there's no caffeine, and it's a detoxer and great for the liver. So, you know, I box and drink too much wine, and have lots of tea the next day.
Okay. I need that. I'm gonna order that.
Do you put anything in it, or do you mix a bunch of stuff in it, or sometimes, or never?
I normally add sort of a milk in those ones, just because that's how I like it, especially the Witch's Brew. But there's days when I don't, but if I'm feeling crazy.
Okay. All right, good.
What's the best advice and the worst advice that someone has given you?
The worst advice was one of my best friends, and if he's listening, he ends up listening to this, sorry. when I was first starting, worked in finance in New York and was very, very intelligent in terms of business, you know, startups. So I showed him my business proposal and he was like, you're crazy. You're going to tank in like 3 months. There's no way. Absolutely can do it. And told me essentially it was the worst idea I ever came up with. And then 2 years later, he was asking if he could invest in my business.
All right. Oh, yay. I love that. I love that. I love that. And I don't like naysayers.
Yeah.
I just don't like that.
I feel like men do that a lot, unfortunately. But
I'm someone who goes more with a gut feeling. So I was like, I'm gonna do it anyway.
That's right. Oh,
yeah. And then the business advice would probably be from when I was working in branding and seeing more on a larger scale companies with collaboration, where I realized that no company actually does anything without collaborating with whether it's a celebrity or another company or some sort of influencer. So when I created my business, I started reaching out to everyone in Portland who had a business or did anything and was just like, hey, what can we do together? Can we put on an event? Can we, you know, do a market together? So the best advice I learned was from working and from people that, you know, I worked with of the no one's competition. You know, if someone is doing something similar and they're successful, that means you can be successful doing it as long as it's, you know, different enough. So work with them.
Yeah, sure. So yeah,
collaboration is probably the best advice that's gotten me pretty far.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Ma, do you have a question for Brianna before we ask her what's...
Just a kind of generic question that I ask everyone.
Oh,
everyone,
no. You know,
that comes on the podcast.
Oh, God.
If for some reason, you know, you invited me to your home, what would be the thing in your home that you're proudest of? Whatever is it? A thing, or it can be an accomplishment and a thing. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, I think just my home in general. I bought my house last year.
Okay.
Congratulations on that.
Because that's you. You know what I mean? That's you. That's an achievement. That's a reflection. Yeah.
So,
you know, wonderful.
I have plenty of things that I've collected over the years that I'm very proud of, but I think just in general, it's a lot of people, especially my age, I'm 31, and a lot of my friends don't have the ability to buy a home.
Have a home
and
yet.
I'm in the future even. So
yeah.
The fact that I have that, I think I'm proud of that.
Wonderful.
Like I said, kudos and congratulations.
You better bet. Okay.
The market price of my house actually this past month of where it's at from last year. I bought it a little over a year ago and I was like, well, I'm already priced out. I couldn't have bought it now. It's just the price.
That's even better. You know, in terms of investing, of you course. Know, that's even better. Yeah. Okay.
So Brianna, what's next for you?
So we are in the process of moving our warehouse. So we've kind of got a few changes. We're doing, like I mentioned before, collaborations. So we have 4 collaborations between now and October with different companies in Portland where we're creating unique blends. One is a wellness center, one's a donut shop that's opening up a bakery and coffee shop. We have one with, it's called the Portland Whiskey Library, which is a very renowned location. So we have a private collection with them. What we're focusing on now is collaboration more so and wellness. So we have our teas that are medicinal and also that are based on flavor, but we're kind of going to dive a little bit more deeper down into herbalism. So possibly launch a line of tinctures, you know, different like baths and tea baths and things like that. So we're going to go a little bit deeper down into our roots and kind of folk healing and ancestral knowledge and try and see if people are interested in diving down with us. Cause you know, not everyone wants to drink tinctures, but
Well, I can't wait for us to taste it. We, like I said, we have the two brews coming. What is it? The Maggie and the Serendipity. And I can't wait. And I'm gonna order some more. You made me very curious about it. And like I said, the site is.
I'll take the Witch's Brew for sure.
Witch's Brew. I'm gonna get the Witch's Brew, Ma. I will order that.
Sure.
Yes. Brianna, tell everybody where they can follow you.
Yeah, so you can follow us on Instagram at Aesthete Tea. We have our website, aesthetetea.com, and we have Facebook, which is also just facebook.com/aesthetetea. And our tea house is located in Southwest Portland, if you wanted to visit our location. And you can purchase us online, and we have over 250 stockists within the U.S. and 7 out of country, and that list is on our website. So
okay. Well, great.
Well, thank you so much, Brianna. You've been really, really sweet. We're so happy to have you on the show. And Ma, is there anything you want to say before we go?
It's wonderful meeting you and continued good luck. And I'm gonna, you know, drop a little memo to you after I taste your tea and let you know how I like it.
Yeah.
And how it makes me feel.
Yeah.
Okay. All righty.
So all right. Bye, guys.
Okay, bye.
Bye.